was from Arkansas. My daddy's from the hood. So I got a little country and city in me. Grits with sugar in it. It's a blessing to be here on this Sunday morning. I want to thank Brother Bradshaw. I definitely want to thank Brother Gibbs for giving us and the leadership here the opportunity to deliver a word this morning. I'm truly humbled. I pray that the words and the things that are said this morning will truly bless your soul. I'll go through various scriptures. I'll make various illustrations. But please believe it is our prayer and our intention that you will be right with Jesus Christ before you walk out of these doors. Now, if you're here and you're not a Christian and you're not saved, you have not put Jesus Christ on in baptism, I pray that you will be attentive to the things that are said this morning. That in order for you to be a Christian, you must believe that Jesus died for you, that he was buried, and that he rose again. If you'll be willing to believe that message, it costs you no money. We don't check your ID. We don't look at your FICO score. It doesn't cost you anything. But if you'll be willing to believe that message and repent of your sins, confessing that he is the Son of God, and by his commandment, as Jesus said in Mark 16:16, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. You have the opportunity to have all your sins washed away on this morning. If you're here and you are a Christian, but you believe that your actions, your deeds, the words that you've said, the thoughts that have crossed your mind have been ungodly, if anything that you've done on this past week, and you're already a Christian, but if there's anything that you've done this past week that is not acceptable to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I'm asking you, I'm begging you to repent. You don't have to make a loud noise. We don't need to know all your business. We don't need to know what colors and what crevices you crawled into. The only thing that God is asking you to do, if you are a child of God, if you'll be willing right now to humble your heart and ask him for forgiveness, and my Bible says, and yours too says, he is just to forgive. There should be no reason that each and every one of us should walk out of here in good and right standing with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? If you don't mind, let us go to God in a word of prayer. Holy and righteous Father, we thank you for all of your blessings. We thank you for your goodness. And we thank you, dear Father, for allowing yourself to be put on the cross. So, Father, we pray for anything that is crooked, please make it straight. Father, for anything that's broken, we ask, dear Father, that you may fix it. For anything, dear Father, that is hurting, we ask, dear Father, that you may provide comfort. And for anyone that is lost, dear Father, we pray, dear Father, that they may see the light. Help us, dear Father, as we go to the continuous of this service, that everything we do, and every word and every song and every prayer that is prayed, let it be a sweet smell before you. In your holy and in your righteous name we pray. Amen. I appreciate Brother Bradshaw letting me know that there was going to, I love food. I don't know if y'all don't, I love buffets. I love buffets. Matter of fact, I didn't go to a one-plate establishment. That's what we called it. I didn't go to a one-plate establishment until I was well into my teens. My father had four of us, so all we knew was buffets. And I remember being frustrated because he took us to a one-plate establishment. And I looked at him like, is this it? This is, no more is coming. This is it. I looked up here, I said, oh, they gave a love offering to the preacher with, I see three ply somewhere, three ply. Bless it, that's what he needs. If you don't mind singing a song with me and then we'll dive into our text. It's a familiar song for those of you who don't know. I love this song. And the reason I love this song, because I love the questions in the song. And the reason why I love this song is because regardless of how many questions are asked, it gives the same answer to all of the questions. So if you don't mind singing a few questions and an answer with me, then we'll dive into our text. The first question goes, why did my Savior come to man to the Bogo, and why did he choose the lowly Lord be.
2 Kings chapter 7.
He loved me so, and he loved, Jesus loved me so. And Jesus loved me so. And I know he gave his precious for me. He loved.
We'll begin at verse 3. It's amazing. God has blessed us in the colony. 8 years ago, this past summer, I moved to the colony. I've been in the Dallas area for 10 years, but I moved to the colony 8 years ago. And when I moved to the colony, about 2 weeks after being there, I went and I was looking for the Church of Christ in the colony. I Googled it, but I couldn't find it. So on one particular evening, I decided to just pull into a church. And I pulled into the church and I knocked on the door. And when I knocked on the door, I said, excuse me, I'm looking for the Church of Christ in this area. And it says this address, but I can't find it. The secretary says, oh, I'm sorry, we used to be the Church of Christ. I said, excuse me, what happened? She said, let me go get the pastor. The pastor came out of the office and he said, yes, we used to be the Church of Christ, but we did a 6-month study. And after studying a series of lessons for 6 months, we decided that there was no need for us to associate with the Church of Christ. So we removed our fellowship. We also believed that instrumental music was okay. And we also believed that the woman's role needed to be expanded with preaching and teaching and doing those different types of things. I said, wow, 6 months. You did that 6 months. It's amazing. Good. Wow. I said, can I get the tapes or something? Can I get those messages? Never received them. I turned around and I walked back to the parking lot sad. And I didn't realize that 30 years ago, a Church of Christ had planted a work there and bought that property. And it was overtaken. Here we are 8 years later, and North Colony bought that church. And it's truly a blessing with all the things that we've been through in the last 8 years, that the very church that I knocked on is now the church I preach in. God is good. In 2 Kings chapter 7 and beginning at verse 3, and there were four, not one, not two, not three, but four leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said to one another. Here we are in the text, and there are four leprous men with an incurable disease, men that are in a situation. Do you know people in a situation? And you can't get yourself out of that situation. Have you ever been in something? And you haven't, with all of your resources, you've been praying, you've been talking to everybody that you know. Everybody knows your situation. But you can't get yourself out of your situation. And sometimes your situation is so complicated, you end up attracting yourselves to individuals who are in similar situations just like you. There was a point in my life, I was broke and all my friends were broke. Have you ever noticed that when you don't have a car, you hang out with other people who don't have a car? When you don't have certain things and you don't have certain blessings, then you end up attracting yourselves to other people who understand your plight. When your heart is broken, and isn't it funny how you sometimes attract to other people who have similar broken hearts? When your eyes are weary and you don't know what to do, and you find yourself in a situation that you can't get yourself out of. Leprosy was an incurable disease. It affected the body, but it definitely affected the spirit and the soul. You could see leprosy. Like, you could see it. See, there's some people's issues, they can cover it up with a suit. But some of your situations is visible. We can look at you and we can see the cross you're carrying. Some people have little crosses and they put it in their pocket and you can hide it a little bit. Some people's situations stink, but a little potpourri, you can mask it a little bit. But sometimes your stuff stinks so bad, the only thing that you can tell the people around you is, excuse me. I'm so sorry. Excuse me. Leprosy was visible. And the Bible says it was four of them. And they were just sitting there. I mean, they were just sitting there. Now, here's the thing about leprosy. If you just sit there, you will die. Matter of fact, you don't even have to have leprosy. If you literally just sit there, you're going to die. The thing with leprosy is you're going to die faster. Sometimes when you find yourself in a storm, you don't want to get out of the bed. The sun hurts your eyes. Phone calls pierce you. You don't want to answer. The sound of somebody knocking on your door becomes an irritant because you don't have the energy to move. You just want to sit. Have the alarm ever went off and you just wanted to roll over? And you just didn't want to, you heard the kids in the background, but you didn't have the energy. Matter of fact, you wanted to call somebody to come get them. Because you just don't have the energy. And you're in a situation and your heart is heavy because everybody you talk to, none of them has a solution. And you get to the point where you get tired of explaining why you're sick. And somebody asks you, how are you today? And your situation is the same as yesterday. What you want me? We can repeat this all over again. I'm struggling. Hey, sister, how you doing? This same as last week. Hey, brother, how your family? We all broken. We still broken. Good to see you. You get to a point where you're tired of explaining why your situation doesn't look like everybody else. You get tired of being in your situation. And so sometimes there are some people who quit on life. Now, I know you're here this morning because you're supposed to. And I know you're going to go to work. And you're going to pay some bills, some of them. And you know what? You'll be back here next Sunday doing the same thing. You're alive, but you're not living. I think it was a quote that says, we buried a man at 65 who died at 27. And sometimes you could just get up and go about your business. Go to bed, watch a little foolishness, a little Love and Hip Hop, Scandal, whatever you're going through, depending on your situation. And you go to bed, and you wake up, get on the same raggedy highway, go to the same raggedy job that you hate, but you pray to the Lord you don't lose it. Go to the house you don't like and get out of the driveway that makes you sick and look at the same raggedy curtains and sit on the same pitiful couch watching the same raggedy shows only to get up and do it all over again. You can't tell me Jesus died on the cross for that foolishness. You can't tell me that Christians were killed and murdered. You can't tell me that they suffered and died for you to get up, go to a job you don't like, pay bills you can't pay, go to a house or an apartment you want to move out of, and you complain. You know what? You complain all while sitting there. And sometimes you do that in the Lord's house. You will sit in the Lord's house and complain about the songs. You will sit in the Lord's house and you will complain that it doesn't move as efficiently as you like. Sometimes you will sit and complain. I remember I was in a high school, and I was studying for a test I was going to fail. And as I was studying, all my friends and we would complain about how the class was too hard. And we would complain about how the teacher wasn't teaching right. We would complain about how come they gave so much homework. We would complain that school was too long. And then you know what we would do after school? Because I play football. We would get dressed. And there was a friend of mine, we used to get there early for practice. We would complain about how the sun was hot. We would complain that they didn't cut the grass. Why they cut the grass now? It's going to be itchy. We play football, but it's going to be itchy. We would complain that they were hitting too hard. Why we have to hit today? You know what we did after practice? Complain to mama, like, why can't I get another plate? And why do I have to take the trash out? Why do I have to wash the... It's not my turn. And we would complain all while sitting there. I got to a point, you get tired of people who complain. People will tell you somebody dropped the trash. A person will walk a mile to go tell somebody, hey, they dropped some trash. And won't do anything about it. See, people who complain all the time don't have solutions. And people who don't have solutions, you really don't need to listen to them. Because the only thing they're going to do tomorrow is what? Complain. Somebody in the group, it's four of them. And we all in the same situation. Nobody can help either one of us. And sometimes life puts you in a situation where nobody can help you. All the people who could give you money are busy. All the people who could and would give you a ride are unavailable. And you find yourself in a situation where nobody can help you, and you're sitting there. One person in the group, out of the four, one person in the group, the Bible says in verse 3, here until we die. Like somebody said, hey y'all, why are we just giving up? And I know we have leprosy of the body, and I know we're dying, and our limbs are falling. I know we don't look too good. We probably don't smell too good. And even with leprosy, you wasn't allowed to live in the city. So if they found out that you had leprosy, they had a community on the outskirts that you had to live in with all the other sick people. But somebody in that sick group said, listen, it don't have to be like this. Like, if I'm going to die, Let it be on my feet. Some of us, we sit and you feel sorry for yourself because your life is hard. Join the club. They stabbed you in the back. They betrayed you. They done you wrong. They tore your life apart. You've lost loved ones. You've been to funerals. Join the club. We all cry. We all have a story to tell. You know how those who struggle when they were growing up like to talk to other people who we ate beans. We ate beans with no bowl. We ate beans with no spoon and no bowl. We had to, you know, people like to tell stories about how bad it was for, hey, you don't even realize that the person you're sitting next to has probably, they have a harder story than you. The person that's sitting behind you, you had to fight two demons, they had to fight 10. And they're still here. But regardless of your situation, why sit here and just die? The Bible says in verse 4, if we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city. Ain't that some mess? They said, okay, what are our options? What are our options? If we sit here, we'll just die with each other. That ain't good. That ain't good. They said, let's go into the city. They kicked us out of the city. They won't let us in the city. But listen, I would prefer to die on the move than to just sit here and die. But we look in the city and we found out that the city got some situations. They said there's a famine in the city. Some of y'all don't know what a famine is. A famine is you get paid on the 2nd and it's the 25th through the 1st. That's a, y'all know what a famine is? when they say, hey, you want to come out to eat? No, I'm not. I got some stuff at home. I'm okay. You want to hang out this weekend? No, I'm tired. I got to get ready for worship. They looked in the city and they said, there's a famine in the city. There is no food in the city. We've already made up in our mind we can't sit here. But if we go there, there's some trouble. I need you to understand. I was wondering as I was reading and I was studying, I said, why did God put this story in the Word of God? Because at this time, you only got 4 sick men talking to each other. And they're trying to make a decision about what they're going to do. They're weighing their options. As the Bible says, count the cost. The city is sick. And then it moves on, and the Bible says, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we'll die also. But sitting here is no longer an option. Now, therefore, come, let us fall into the host of the Syrians. We can't sit here. That's not an option. Now, if we go into the city, there's a famine in the city, and we could die there. And it just so happened in this wonderful season, the enemy, the Syrians, are camped outside of the city. They're not our friends either. So you got the enemy camped on one side, and in the city, there's a famine. We got leprosy. And looks like everybody got issues. But we've already made up in our mind, we cannot sit here. So they say, you know what? God, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know how it's going to work out. But we're going to go to the host of the Syrians. Hey, y'all, they may kill us. They may destroy us, but I want to let you know something. If I die, at least I die trying. Like you were supposed to be in school. You were supposed to graduate. Like, why haven't you started your business? You should have left your job a long time ago. You don't even like it there. They don't even like you. You were supposed to move your family a long time ago. Your money was supposed to be saved up. Like all your dreams, you were supposed to have already written your book. You were supposed to be doing seminar. Why are you sitting here dying? And nobody will bother you. Nobody will bother you. You can sit here. And you know what the world will do? They will leave you alone and walk right past you. But the question you got to ask yourself and the people you're hanging around, hey, y'all, why are we sitting here? People who want better for their families only talk about it, but you don't do anything about it. A person hurts their situation, and I said, listen, have you applied for any other jobs? They said no, then you don't want it bad enough. You're happy in your dysfunction. You like crying. Yes, you do. You like crying. You like complaining. There was a sister one time. She complained about her husband. Doesn't attend worship with her. Doesn't support her. She complained and she prayed about her children. Her children weren't in the Lord, running the streets. We prayed with her. I said, sis, it's going to turn around. I reached out to her daughter, and I baptized her daughter. Reached out to her other daughter, and I baptized her other daughter. I reached out to her husband. I baptized her husband. And they were all attending. And she stopped coming to worship. Ain't the devil, what's happening? She didn't come back until they all left. And when she came back, she started her prayer request all over again. And that was the first time in my ministry I realized you like dysfunction. You feed your dysfunction. You keep your situation the way that it is because you like people feeling sorry for you. At some point in the year, your prayer request card should shift. Lord, I got this thump on my toe. At some point, you should shave that thing off. At some point, put some ointment on it, should get better. At some point, your prayer request card shouldn't be the same month after month. Not the power of Jesus that we talk about. You telling me that Almighty God can't step in your situation and do something mighty? I know he can. So they say, you know what? We're going to the Syrians. Yeah, we're going to the Syrians. We don't know what's going to happen. But you can't make that decision unless you have faith. You just got to believe something better is around the corner. And it may get worse, but at least I'm not sitting here. You're in a relationship and you're not happy. You splitting the bill. Y'all mugging each other. You hate when they walk around the corner. You love when they go on vacation. Don't just sit here waiting for somebody to get sick, getting happy when they cough. I'm gonna get back to my. Verse 5, I want you to notice this in your text. If you don't remember anything else, I want you to remember verse 5. I want you to remember the word twilight. I want you to remember the word twilight. If you don't, for those who are marking your Bibles, for those who will take notes, I want you to remember the word twilight, twilight, twilight. The Bible says in verse 5, they rose up when? It was the twilight. The time of day was important. They rose in the twilight. Most people are asleep in the twilight. But they got to a point in the situation, we can't sit here for another day. We're not going to do this in the morning. You know how people like to work out? We're going to start on Monday. Monday is not a holy day. You can start on Thursday. You start on Thursday. They decided at this inconvenient time, we won't be here any longer. They rose up when? In the twilight. And the Bible says, to go into the camp of the Syrians, and when they will come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of the chariots and a noise of horses and even the noise of great hosts. And they said to one another, lo, the king of Israel have hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore, they arose and fled. I want you to notice something in verse 6. The story shifts. The story shifts. In twilight, these four leprous men decided it's time for us to go. And they begin to walk. They begin to walk to the host of the Syrians. Then in verse 6, the story shifts. It leaves the four leprous men and doesn't talk about them. It says with the Syrians, they heard a noise, and it was the sound of horses and chariots. The Bible says they were so afraid, they left their iPad and their phone and all their food. They left all their stuff, and the Bible says, and they took off running. And the Bible even records the conversation they had with themselves. They said the Israelites have hired them Egyptians to come against us. We got to get out of here. They left the sausage and all the food on the table. They were so afraid in the what? They were so afraid. They took off running. Now I want you to notice in verse 7. I want you to look in verse 7. Wherefore, they arose and fled in the what? Okay, y'all don't know when to shout. You missed it. Four leprous men made a decision. When? Story shifts. In the camp of the Syrians, they were asleep, and they heard a noise. At what time? And the Bible says, who sent the noise? In the story, God never spoke to the four leprous men. There's no conversation. There's no recorded conversation between the four leprous men and God. So let me tell you what was happening. These four men who are in a bad situation were coming to a point where they were sick and tired of sitting here. And God was watching. And as God was watching, he didn't say anything. He didn't interrupt the conversation. But God is watching. And he's not saying anything, but he's very attentive. The Bible says the moment they made a decision to change their life is the moment he sent the sound. The moment they said, enough is enough. God said, ring the bell. Ring it, it's time. The Bible says that all the Syrians left. All the Syrians left. And the Bible says that the four leprous men, they entered into the city. Y'all got to read what happens. Those who are VBS graduates, y'all know already what happened. The Bible says in verse 7, wherefore they arose, they fled in the twilight, they left their tents, their horses, their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent, and they did what? Buffet style. That's what I feel like it was buffet style. And they did eat and drink. And the Bible says, and they carried this what? Now you got to read it slow. It got to seep into your spirit. They got what? Silver. And then what? You got to say it again. They had some silver. Yeah, feel good. And gold. And the Bible says, and they got some raiment. And they went and what? The Bible says they ate. They looked around. They got some silver. They got their stuff. And the Bible says they went and what? You know how we do under the cushion. The Bible says they went and hid it. And the Bible says they looked around. Now our bellies are already, and then we already got our stash hid. Bible says they looked around. And the Bible says in verse, at the end of verse 8, and it came, and came up what? Because in buffet you can, right, can't you go again? Then they let you go again. Now you go too many times, they come around the corner and look at you. Go on back around. You said all you can eat. The Bible says, and came again and entered into a what? And carried thence also and went and what? They went and hid it. For the second time. Do you know after the second time they said, I think it's now time for us to go tell Israel. Because we got our stuff. You know, you get yours first. They said, we can go tell Israel now and let the Lord bless us. I want you to notice something. Sometimes it takes us 10 years. Somebody says, it took me, I've heard this quoted. Somebody said, it took me 10 years to change my life. It didn't take 10 years. It took 10 years for you to get to a point so you can make a decision. And then after that decision, your life changed. Some of us are afraid to make a decision because we don't know how it's going to turn out. And you don't get testimonies like this unless you step out on faith. You can't fake faith. You can't fake faith. You can close your eyes and have that one tear come out. You had that one tear, and you can say, Lord, Lord, please, I trust in you, trust it. Screaming to God doesn't mean you believe in him. And crying just means you're emotional. You can't fake faith. You can't fake faith. God loves faith so much. He dresses you in it. He cuts the lights off. Because you look better. If you're wearing faith, you look better when the lights off. I know you say that to your other friends, but the Lord loves faith. But faith is not visible. It's not something you can see. So for order for God to see his glory in you, and if you're full of faith and dressed in faith, he cuts the lights off. He moved the resources out of the way. Because his testimony is stronger when you walk in the dark and not by sight, but by faith. You know what? Why that testimony is so strong? You know what they can tell you? At the end of the day, we still have leprosy. Yeah. We still got leprosy. But we got leprosy with fat bellies. We got leprosy and we're rich. We have leprosy and our clothes have changed. See, what people don't realize about you is that, yeah, you got a new car and you got a bigger house. And you got better opportunities. Your vacations have upgraded from Galveston to Florida. And people are jealous of you. They look at your family, they envy you. Like, where do you go and get your clothes? Where did you go? Where do you go and get your hair? Where do you go?
You don't go and get them, you don't wanna? You don't get that on the top shelf? You don't get those?
And they don't realize that you're glorifying God and you still got the same issue. But your situation has improved. Even though you have the same situation they have, you just made a decision not to sit there. And it's not that everything is perfect. But if I die, I'm going to die on my feet. And I'm going to die moving. You got to give yourself permission to do better. Tell yourself it can be better than this. Tell yourself it doesn't always have to be this way. You don't have to settle. Young people, you don't have to settle. You don't have to settle for what somebody gives you. You don't have to just take somebody's leftovers. There was a gentleman one time, and y'all pray for me. I have a medical condition. The doctors found wind in my lungs, so. Sometimes it just, a lot of it comes out, so. Y'all just pray for me. I'm going to close here. Some of you may have heard the story before. There was a gentleman one time. He pulled up in a driveway, took out a shotgun. He put out a shotgun. He walked back outside. He turned to his car, and he shot out the windows. He shot up his engine, shot out the tires. His neighbor came around. He said, hey man, what are you doing? He said, today is the last day. I'm gonna ride this piece of junk. And I made a decision that nobody else is gonna ride it either. He made a decision that today is the last day. I'm gonna live like this. There was a woman one time, and she was in a board meeting, and the gentleman walked up to her after the board meeting. He said, you're the only woman in this department, and you're an executive, and it's rare to see a woman on this level. He said, how did you get here? She said, I was a housewife. And she said, one day I asked my husband for $10, and he said, for what? I heard somebody groan, bless you. She said, that was the last day that she was ever gonna ask him for money. They didn't divorce. She didn't leave him. She said she went online, started doing some classes, took a part-time job, got into the company, worked her way up the company to where now she's sitting in an executive chair. She points her success to the day she made the decision that everything was going to change. Some of you who here that are Christians, you remember the day you made a decision that I'm coming to Christ. And if you would be honest, it's not to say that the road has been pretty. That was an amen moment. That was everybody. It hasn't been pretty. It hasn't been perfect. But if you would be honest and you've truly tried to walk with Christ, everything changed when you came to Christ. Sitting in dysfunction, and I'm going to be very careful what I'm about to say, sitting in dysfunction, even though you're reading your Bible every day and you're praying, I believe in my heart, in the studies of the scriptures that I've done, it's almost sinful to just sit and waste your life doing a routine when God has called you to do something greater. God did not die on the cross for you to sit in that cubicle and die. I don't believe it. I don't believe that Jesus built the church and put glory in it and put all that gospel power in it for you to just go home miserable complaining about the same thing. So I tell the members at North Colony this. There are two things in life you never complain about. There are two things in life you never complain about. The first thing are things you can change. You say, Brother Williams, but I don't know how it's going to work out. That ain't my business, and that may not be none of yours. But you can do something about it, even if it gets worse. At least you did something about it. But to sit there is almost sinful. To see your family, to see your situation, to look at your environment and see everything going down and you don't do something about it, and you know you're in dysfunction, and you know you're miserable, and you cry every day, and you're sad, and you look out the window, and you're stuck. Don't complain about something. If you don't want your grandma on the couch, move the couch. If you don't like your situation, hey, move, change the colors. Move the situation. New furniture, put a new seat. Do something. Do something, but don't just sit there. The second thing in life you never complain about are things you can't change. Your feet just look like that. It won't get better. You can't change that. You can't change who your daddy is. And you wish you had a better father, but you can't change who your father is. And your mother is your mother. Hey, Uncle Joe, that's what he do. Things in life you can't change. Don't be up all night crying and complaining about something you really can't do anything about. You didn't plan to have another child. You didn't plan to get fired and you wanted to stay. You want to do this. Things you can't change, hey, it happened. So we're not going to sit here. You're not going to call me. I ain't going to hear about Jeremy anytime. Stop calling me about old dude. He gone. We ain't going to talk about him no more. You can't change that. Now, in between the things you can change, you don't complain, you move. And the things you can't change, it is what it is. Everything else you can complain about. But God has given us the power to do something about it. We should be powerful people because God is in us. And he didn't call you to be stuck crying. You should be applying for jobs tomorrow if you don't like your situation. You should be looking for new homes. Get on Zillow. Look for somebody. You should be improving. We should all be getting better in Christ. The church should never be stuck. But if the church is stuck, it's not the walls that make us stuck. It's because the people that are in the walls are stuck. The church should be doing something greater. That means you ought to be doing something greater because you are in the body of Christ. Shouldn't we be powerful? And if you want to be a part of a powerful soul-saving institution, you got to make a decision. Your next blessing is standing behind your next decision. So I want you to notice this. For those of you who are not in Christ, God is looking at you in the twilight. And he's ready for you to make a decision, because once you make a decision, some things are going to move. The leprous men and God never spoke. But they didn't even realize that God was just waiting. You're not waiting on God to fix your... God's waiting on you. He's waiting on you. And he's saying, move. Please, one of these days, move. Do something about it. And if you'll be willing to come to Christ, if you'll be willing to repent of your sins and confess that he is the Son of God, and be willing to be baptized, all your sins can be washed away. If you do your part and get in, he'll get in with you. And the Bible says, Revelation 1:5, he'll wash you in his blood. He'll do his part. I promise to do my part, but you got to make a decision and get in. Give your life to me, and I'll never leave you. If you're here and you are a Christian, and you realize I'm stuck behind ambivalence, and my blessings are all waiting on me, because God, it's difficult for him to bless somebody who can't make up their mind. A man that can't make up his mind turns into a pimp. A woman that can't make up her mind, she becomes, let me be nice about this, a community nurse. Make a decision. If you make a decision right now, you don't even realize the Lord is ready to ring the bells. If you can make a decision to do better, the dreams that you have, the things that you want to accomplish, if you make a decision to get closer, maybe there's some things that you need to let go, and you know you need to stop doing it. It's bringing you down. There are some people you need to go ahead and make a decision and have a conversation with. Hey, it's a file 13 on this relationship. I got to set you aside. There's some things that you need to share. If you just be willing to make a decision, stop settling. That's not of God. To settle is not of God. Don't just say this is just my situation. You can do something about it. Make a decision. Now, this invitation is now yours. I pray you receive it with all your heart as we together stand and sing a verse of a song.
Just as I am with